おはようございます。
おはようございます。
昨日は教会員と EBC の方々と一緒に日立カリン公園に行って、とても豊かな時間で、ちょっと日焼けたがでもとてもいい天気で、とても恵まれましたから、それを神様に感謝しています。で、秋の季節に来て、それは本当に僕の一番好きな季節です。正直に言うと、カナダとアメリカにいた間も、日本に来てからも、日本は7月に引っ越しして、で、大体10月頃に自分の気持ちがちょっと落ち着いた感じから、それを思い出して、金木犀もその香りも考えて、その美味しいものばかりを食べて、でもいい時間で、いつも秋を向けて楽しみにしてます。 So yesterday、we had a really good time at the Hitachi Park, the different church members and EBC people that went. We had about 38 who came and, throughout the day, and it was just a really good time. God bless us with good weather and with good fellowship. I love the fall. When I lived in Canada, it was my favorite season. When I lived in Nebraska, it was my favorite season. And in Japan, it's also my favorite season. Since I moved in the heat and the stickiness of the summer to Japan, I can remember feeling a whole lot of relief when the leaves started changing. And there's a tree, I don't know if you have walked along here, but you should be able to smell it. In Japanese, it's called kimokusei. In English, it's orange osmanthus. I had to look it up online last night, and even you say that, I don't know what that is, but if you smell it, you'll know what it is, and it's really, really beautiful. It's that little orange or white flowers, and a really good smell. But when I think about the fall, I think of that smell in Japan specifically, and think about all the good foods that we get in the fall, and the good fellowship time that happens then. So I'm thankful for that. 今朝は使徒行行録19章について話したいと思います。で、まず16章、17章、18章についてまた思い出したいと思います。まず16章では権勉教会に説教してくれて、で、それはテモテの話で、パウロがテモテを選んで、テモテが十分自分を準備してからパウロと一緒に回っていきました。で、私たちも同じように神様から選ばれて、自分の心を用意して準備して、で、その奉仕をやる可能性はあります。So first in Acts 16, well, I want to review what we've talked about in the last three chapters. We talked about chapter 16, chapter 17, chapter 18. In 16, Kendon spoke about Timothy, about Paul choosing Timothy and preparing Timothy. Timothy was willing to go. He was willing to be sent, and he prepared himself. And we also, like Timothy, are chosen by God. And we have the opportunity to prepare ourselves and to go out. 17章では、パウロがアテネに行って、で、その17章で、パウロがその誰に分かちばいいか、どういうふうにそのメッセージを伝えばいいか、ということについて話しました。で、私たちも神様が私たちを誰かに導いていくはずなんです。またはどういうふうにその福音のメッセージをその人とつながるかのことも考えた方がいいと思います。 OK, so then in chapter 17、we talked about Paul going to Athens, and at that time、we talked aboutfinding somebody to share with and the way that we share. And so we too, like Paul, are being led by God to somebody to share. And we are leaning on his wisdom, we're leaning on his guidance to find the way to connect the message with the person. 18章では、それは先週、アツシさんが18章についてアキラとクリスタの話をやってくださって、でそこでそれは特別の人だけの行使ではなく、すべての人の喜び、私たちみんながその行使にお願いしている神様は、その道を開いているというメッセージでした。So then in chapter 18 last week, Atsushi talked about Aquila and Priscilla. And his main point was that this is for all people. It's not just for a certain few people who have an interest or giftedness, but that each person has the opportunity, has the joy, and has the responsibility to share. で、この3つの箇所を考えると、19章では私たちは何を学ぶことができますか？そこで私たちはどういうふうに成熟することができるでしょうか？ So that now thinking about those three messages, those three different chapters, as we look at verse 19, what is it that we can learn? What is it that God is wanting to tell us and how is he wanting to grow us?19章ではパウロがコリントからエペソに行って、でエペソでその宣教また続きました。コリントは今現代のギリシャになって、でエペソ市は 今でもあって、それはトルコであります。で面白いなのはパウロの宣教旅はアジアでもヨーロッパでもやりました。よく他の日本人と話したら、そのキリスト教はヨーロッパ系の信仰とよく言われてますが、本当はパウロはアジアでもヨーロッパでもその宣教活動をやりました。 So in this chapter 19、Paul travels from Corinth to EphesusCorinth is in present-day Greece, and Ephesus is in present-day, in the Asian part of Turkey. And one of the things that I would like to point out is that I think it's interesting that Paul's travels take him through Asia and through Europe. A lot of times, people in this part of the world have an impression that Christianity and its beginnings were in Europe. But in actuality, there's a good portion of its history which start in Asia and have been throughout Asia as well. 節から7節ではパウロはエフェソに入って12人の人たちと出会って、その人たちはバプテストのヨハネのバプテスマを受けました。でそのバプテスマと聖霊様についてパウロが彼らと話しました。でパウロがバプテスマは悔い改めるためだけではなく、イエス様を信じているためだし、または聖霊様がそことつながることもあるという、この3つのことをその12人に説明しています。でそこからパウロがこの12人の弟子訓練をしています。 So in verses 1 through 7、I think it's interesting that Paul finds 12. Just like Jesus had 12, he finds 12 people in Ephesus who have received John the Baptist's baptismSo they have been baptized, but he also points out to them that baptism is not only for repentance, but also belief in Christ, that the baptism is pointing to a belief in Christ, and also that there's a connection with the Holy Spirit. They don't know anything about the Holy Spirit until Paul starts talking to them about that. So I think it's interesting that he highlights all three of those things with them. It says in verse 6 that it was the 12 men. And these were probably just regular Ephesian guys that were hanging out together. Maybe they looked like these guys here. I don't know. But I think they were probably just what everybody would imagine as regular people. But they had a desire for God. And they put their hands, they put their lives into Paul's hands to grow them and to take them along in the journey.
で、あの、面白いなのは、その6節で、それは12人と言われています。それで書いてあります。で、イエス様もその12人の弟子たちと一緒に回っていて、で、その人たちは、まあ、この人たちと同じではないかもしれないけど、こういう感じで、そのエフェソにある普段の人たちで見えるかもしれない。その人たちが自分の人生を神様に、あのパウロを通して自分の人生を委ねていて、でその成熟、その一緒に成熟してその弟子訓練を受けました。8節から12節では癒し、癒しという言葉が非、それはあの一番大事だと思います。パウロはティモテとエラスタスをマケドニアに送りました。 パウロの先に彼らはマケドニアに行きました。で、17章と同じようにパウロがまずカイドへ行って3ヶ月ずっとカイロで教え抜いた。ある人はそれを受け入れなかったけど、彼は毎回毎回続けて毎日3ヶ月間でカイロに行きました。で、その後は2年間その先の12人の弟子たちと一緒にティラネスのカイロに行って、そこでまたその宣教メッセージ、その福音メッセージを述べ伝えた。10節を読むとこう書いてあります。アジア州に住む者はユダヤ人であれギリシャ人であれ、誰もが主の言葉を聞くことになったと書いてあります。そのユダヤ人でもギリシャ人でもそのメッセージをいただいて、で、その後を読むとパオロが悔い改めなさいと言わなかった。彼らが自分からそのメッセージを聞いて気づいて、そこで自分の罪を告白し悔い改めました。で、そこで肉体的な癒しでも霊的な癒しでもありました。 So in verse 8 through 12 Paul does the same thing that he does in chapter 17. First he goes to the synagogue. Then after the synagogue, then he goes out. So he has the same pattern. He always starts in the synagogue. He always starts in the people, in the place where people are gathered, in the place where people are worshiping. And then from there he moves out. With the 12 disciples, they lead him to another place where other local people are gathered. And it's interesting that he spends 3 months in the synagogue. He goes to the synagogue every day for 3 months, teaching the same thing over and over again, even though people rejected him. And then he spends 2 years in the hall of Tyrannus, teaching over and over again. It says in verse 10, all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. And I think the word healing is key.
because people experience not only physical healing, but they also experience spiritual healing. And the reason why I say that is, it wasn't just Paul saying, you need to give your life to God, you need to repent. It says, after verse 10, if you read, that they themselves responded. That they themselves brought their books. They had them burned. They changed their lives. They gave themselves to Christ. The power of that message that happens, the healing, the spiritual and the physical healing that happens. Il sept cas d'ajuni sept jours, yomu to. この二つのことが勉強します。まず、聖霊様の力は事実です。聖霊様の力は事実です。パウロはその12人に思ったより教えてくれました。またはその聖霊様の導きによって多くの人が福音を聞いて自分の人生を神様に委ねたわけ。So one of the first things that we learn from the first 12 verses is that the Holy Spirit is real, that His power is real. Paul takes the time to teach those 12 people, okay, you understand some things, but it's time to learn more. The Holy Spirit's power is real. You need the Holy Spirit's power. And through the Spirit, people hear the message and they respond by giving their lives to God.
二つ目は、私たちの人生には聖霊様の力が必要なことも事実です。この二つのことはつながっています。まず、聖霊様の力はあるということ。で、それは私たちの人生に必要なことだと思います。
So the second thing is that the Holy Spirit's power released in our lives is necessary for our lives. And I think those two things are connected. First of all, Paul says there is a Holy Spirit and He has power for you. But secondly, that we need the Holy Spirit. We need to release ourselves to the Holy Spirit.
それから23節から41節はその後の2年間の間でペトリオという方がパウロのメッセージを聞いて他の人がそのメッセージを聞いて悔い改めるによるそのアルテミスの礼拝を捨てました。でそれで彼はものすごく怒ってきて他の人も連れていていろんな混乱の中でみんなが戦いました。争った。でこの23節から41節ではそれが書いてあります。あと一つ面白いなのはこの道ということが23節に書いてあります。この道、その時はキリスト教とは呼ばれなかった。この道とそれはそのイエス様にある信仰という意味です。でデメトリオの動機は何でしょうかという質問という疑問もあります。それは本当に彼はアルテミスを信じたか、または彼の仕事はそれと関係あったから、もしみんながアルテミスを捨てるなら自分の仕事もなくなるかなという疑問もありました。
So in verses 23 through 41 then, Paul is basically talking about one thing that happened in those 2 years. Demetrius, who's a silversmith, who makes shrines and things for the shrines for the Artemis or the Diana worship, he gets ticked off because Paul is talking about this other god and he's going ahead and bringing other people to this thing called the way. In chapter 23, it says the way. And I'm, or verse 23. And I know most of you probably know this, but I just pointed out that at that point, they didn't call it Christianity. They called it the way. So, and the way refers to the way to God through Jesus Christ. So Demetrius gets upset about it. He gathers a whole bunch of other people. They gather together, and it starts this whole chaotic fight. In fact, some of the people tell Paul, don't go in there. You're going to risk your life if you go in. アルテミスはどういう神だったか。それはローマでもギリシャでも、そのローマ人、ギリシャ人が拝んだ神です。で、これはあの女性の方で、本当はあのそのギリシャの方では、そのローマの方はこの白い方だけど、ギリシャの方ではそのあのいっぱいあのここにつけていっぱいおっぱいがある神という神です。ちょっと怖いですが、正直に言うと。でもこういう神を拝んだわけ。 So Diana or Artemis was a Roman and a Greek goddess. The white statue that you saw is how they depicted her in Rome. But in Greece, they depicted her as this woman with many breasts. And this is more of what it looked like. And this is what they worship. So I just wanted you to get a picture of what Artemis looked like and what they were fighting for. パウロがそのカイロに行って、またはデメトリオとその友達を考えると、彼らはそのメッセージを受け入れなかったと気づいた。イエス様も12人の弟子たちと回っていて、受け入れない人もいたと思いました。パウロも同じ経験があった。で、そこで私たちも神様を受け入れないこと、受け入れない場所があるんじゃないかと気づきました。そこで抵抗、壁が神様と私たちの間にもあると思います。私たちの人生の中、私たちの心の中にあると思います。Jesus and his disciples experienced rejection. Paul also experienced rejection in the synagogue and also by Demetrius and by others. They had something that they wanted to hold on to. And I think where we can learn in the message of today is also that we have areas that we put up walls, that we have resistance to God, where we don't allow Him into parts of our heart and into parts of our lives. クリアセーションを考えると、この、まあ、アルテミスの礼拝を考えて、そこを捨てなくて、それを神様にそのテーブル、その壁を立てて、でこれに大事にしたことを考えると、この旧約聖書の10回でも思い出す。で、出エジプト記の20章にそれが書いてあります。最初の4つは私たちと神様の間について、で、その後の6つは私たちお互いの関係についてのルールです。 So as I thought about it, as I thought about the people who worship Artemis having resistance, they were unwilling to give themselves to God. and thought about our own lives and how we also have areas in our heart, in our lives, that we're unwilling to give, it made me think about the Old Testament. One example is, of course, in Exodus 20, when Moses receives the Ten Commandments. Right now you're studying that in your Sunday morning class. And the first four commandments, basically, it can be basically broken up into two parts. The first four commandments have to do with us and God. And the next six commandments have to do with us, each other, relationships with other people.
あなたは私において他の神があってはならない。と書いてあります。で、二つ目は、あなたはいかなる像も作ってはならない。あなたはそれらに向かって切り伏したり、それらに仕えたりしてはならない。
So the very first one is, you shall have no other gods before me. And the second one is, you shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. And of course, in this time, God is trying to give direction to his people. And I know that he is talking about physical, like physical idols that we can see. But I think there's also a meaning about the idols that we have in our heart as well. About having other gods before our God. And worshiping other things other than our God.
また列王記でもこれは何回も何回も繰り返して書いてあります。それを読みたいと思います。22章の43節と44節を読みます。これはヨシャファットという王様。 について、彼は父朝の道をそのまま歩み、それを離れず、主の目にかなう正しいことを行った。で、この44節が、注目したい。しかし、聖なる高台は取り除かなかった。
民は依然として聖なる高台で生贄を捧げ、こう焚いていた。というのは、王様が正しく行動を一生懸命神様のために立てても、他の神の高台を壊さなかった。 で、そこで彼の民族が神様じゃなくて他の道、他の神様を礼拝、拝んだことです。So the first one that I want to read, another example I want to give to is basically from the Kings, from 1st and 2nd Kings. The first one is a passage about Jehoshaphat. But what I want you to get is, I'm only going to give you two examples of this, but there's this one phrase that continues to come up over and over and over again in 1st and 2nd Kings. It says, In everything, he walked in the ways of his father Asa and did not stray for them. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. The high places, however, were not removed, and the people continued to offer sacrifices and burn incense there. I think that's the high places, however. You know, underline that in your Bible. The king himself did all kinds of good things for God, but he failed to remove the high places. And by doing so, his people failed to give themselves to God completely. because they protected those high places and they worshiped other gods. ヨアシュもこの12章の3と4節、ヨアシュは主の目にかなう正しいことを行った。ただ聖なる高台は取り残らず、民は依然として聖なる高台で生贄を取り、こう書いた。 Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And then again, the high places, however, were not removed. The people continued to offer sacrifices and burn incense there. で、同じくその23章では違う例があります。でこれはヨシアという王様です。ヨシアはまたサマリアの町々にあった聖なる高台の神殿のすべて取り除いた。これらはイスラエルの王たちが作った主の怒りを招いたものであった。ヨシアは自分の行動だけではなく、その高台を全部壊してしまって、完全に神様に自分と自分の民を捧げたわけ。そこでヨシア王様とイスラエルが神様の祝福、怒りの代わりに祝福を受け入れた。 So we have a different example in 2 Kings 23 with Josiah. Just as he had done in Bethel, Josiah removed and defiled all the shrines at the high places that the kings of Israel had built in the towns of Samaria that had provoked the Lord to anger. So Josiah goes all the way. He doesn't just go halfway. He doesn't just change his actions, but he breaks down, he destroys, he defiles the high places the other kings had built to gods. He gives himself and his nation, he surrenders them completely, fully to God. And there we see God's anger turns to blessing. His reign is blessed because he surrenders himself and his people completely.私たちは壁を考えると、それは2つの目的です。一つはその壁の中にあるものを守るために、で壁の外のものをそのままに置いておくために、そのものからこの中にあるものを守るために、まあ、この中国で有名な壁をそのイメージとして考えると、私たちも私たちの心と人生の中に壁を作っていると思います。神様からその壁を作っているわけです。 Using this image of the Great Wall from ChinaBasically, a wall has two purposes. It's to keep the thing outside of the wall out, and to keep the thing inside the wall protected from the thing outside. And using this as our image for today, thinking about Demetrius, thinking about the people in the synagogue, I want you to think about the walls that you have in your heart and in your life. The things that you're building, that you're protecting,and that you're blocking God from in your life.
私たちの心や人生には高台、偶像があり、イエス様がそれを取り壊すことを拒んでしまうことがある。エフェソの街道の人たちやデメテオのように神様に自分を委ねるよりも、
神様と争ってしまう時もあるかもしれない。私たちがその旧約聖書のことを読んで、あとこの新約聖書、このデメトリオの話を考えると、ただその偶像、その高台は他の宗教のこととして考えているけど、本当は私たちの人生の中に、私たちの心の中に、その高台、その偶像はあると思います。私たちみんな、皆さん、すべての人たち、一人一人、イエス様に委ねている人たちでも、まだイエス様に自分の人生を委ねていない人たちでも、私たちすべてはそういう状況です。 So each one of us has high places and idols in our hearts and lives that we have not allowed God to tear down. Like the people in the Ephesian synagogue and like Demetrius, we may even choose to fight God rather than to allow him to have control in our lives. It's easy for us to read about 1st and 2nd Kings. It's easy for us to read the Ten Commandments. It's easy for us to think about what happened in Ephesus 2,000 years ago and just leave it as that. Oh, you know, there are those cute people that were trying to do something for Jesus or trying to be for God. But the reality is we have those high places in our hearts. We have those idols in our hearts, and that's every person. That's every person in this world. People that have given their lives to Jesus and people that have not yet given their lives to Jesus. And until we realize that and give that up, then God cannot have his way in us and through us, I believe. ただこの19章を考えると、その壁を十分理解して、それを見つけて認めることが必要だと私が思っています。その事実は、私たちは聖霊様が必要です。パウロがその12人に言ったように、私たちも聖霊様の力が私たちの心の中に、私たちの人生に必要なことだと思います。私たちは主イエスの支配することに委ねて、神様が私たちの心にある高台、偶像を壊していただくことが必要です。まず私たちがそれをやらなければならない。他の人を考えるよりも、まず自分を考えて、イエス様に壊していただくことを頼んで、それから他の人のために頼むことができると思います。 So the fact is that we need the Holy Spirit, just like Paul tried to really emphasize that to the 12 in Ephesians. We also need the Holy Spirit. We desperately need his power to be at work in our hearts and in our lives. We must release ourselves to Jesus' Lordship and allow God to tear down the high places in our hearts. Instead of being like Demetrius, we need to respond. If we don't do that for ourselves, then we can't allow other people to do that either. So it has to start. We need to start by asking God what are the walls that we have and allowing him to break those things down. Then we can ask for other people as well. 今週の3つの質問、今週のチャレンジはこの19章から何を一緒に考えて、自分の人生と心によって神様に答えて ですか。まず私たちの私のこれをみんなは自分に考えてください。私の心と人生の中にある神様に壊していただいてない高台は何ですか。 So again, like each week, I have three challenges or three questions. These are things from the chapter to bring for our lives to respond in some way to God.So I want to encourage you to take this week to reflect on these questions and to respond with your life, with your way of living. What are the high places in my life that have not yet been released to God? This is a question for you to ask yourself. What are the high places in my life that have not yet been released to God? 2番目、心を開いたエフェソの12人弟子たちのようにではなく、私はどのようにデメトリオのように神様に抵抗していますか。またもう一回繰り返して読みます。心を開いたエフェソの12人弟子たちのようにでなく、私はどのようにデメトリオのように神様に抵抗していますか。 So the second question is, how am I showing resistance like Demetrius instead of acceptance like the 12 Ephesian disciples? I read it again. How am I showing resistance to God like Demetrius instead of acceptance like the 12 Ephesian disciples?あと3番目、私の人生で神様に導かれ、イエス様が必要ことをどのように他の人に気づいてもらうことができるでしょうか。最初の2つは自分と神様との関係で、3番目は神様と私たちと他の人のことです。また私の人生で聖霊様に導かれ、イエス様が必要なことをどのように他の人に気づいてもらうことができるでしょうか。 And here's the last question. The first two questions are just your relationship with God, just our relationship with GodBut the last one involves me, God, and other person. Okay? By my life, how can I show to others the need each of us has to be led by the Holy Spirit towards God? But I think we have to ask and answer the first two questions before we can move on to the third one. So again, I'll read that one. By my life, how can I show to others...the need each of us has to be led by the Holy Spirit towards God. What I'm saying is, if we have walls to God, we cannot do the third one. If we are resisting God, God will not, cannot use us. 神様にその壁を壊していただくことによる、私たちが本当に自由になります。そこで本当の喜びが体験しています。喜んで神様を礼拝しています。喜んでその喜びが溢れているから神様を神様のために他の兄弟姉妹と一緒に奉仕をします。自由とその喜び、壁を壊して自分の完全に委ねて、そこで喜びが見つかります。 Breaking down the walls by allowing Jesus to break down the walls, giving him permission to do that in our lives. That's how we experience the truer joy. That's where we find freedom. That's where we're motivated to worship God, because of the joy, not because of an obligation that we feel to be here, but because we feel joyful at what God is doing in our lives. It's through that joy that we are motivated to serve, not because we feel guilty if we don't do it, but because we receive that goodness, and that joy is overflowing, and we can't help but want to do that. That becomes our response. たちを愛してくださっている神様、私たちの心の中に、私たちの人生に、壁を立ってしまって、神様に抵抗することを告白したいと思います。まず私たちがそれを告白し、私たちの周り、愛している家族にも、同じ職場の人たちにも、その壁はあると思います。私たちがあなた様の力でそれを委ねて、私たちの心でそれを壊していただくことを神様に頼む、そこまで私たちを導いてください。そのカイロの人たち、デメトリオのような人ではなく、ソニアにいた12人の弟子たちのように、私たちが完全に自分の神様、イエス様に委ねることができますように、私たちを助けて自由にある喜びが私たちの人生にあふれていくことができますように、神様を助けてください。自由を得る、その喜びがあふれている人生体験して、それは他の人に証になりますように、他の人も救われますように。神様、私たち全ての人一人一人を助けて、聖霊様の導きありますように、その皆を通してこの祈りを。